close our eyes. Father, we dedicate the service to you, Lord. We dedicate ourselves to you this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We know you are here already. We just give you permission this morning just to continue with the work that you're already busy with, Lord. I thank you for a preparation, Lord, that took place even before the service started. Lord, that you were ready, that you had us in mind this morning, Lord. You didn't sleep at night, Lord. While we were sleeping, you were dreaming of this moment, Lord, that we will be in your presence. And Father, I thank you that each and everyone can stand before you this moment, Father, this morning, Lord. And may we turn our eyes upon you. May we see you this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Clarence. I'm going to ask Brenda to come to the front, share a few words. Some of the ladies will know. So, well, many of us know her. She's very well known for the visitors at Aranda. She's involved there with a project there, and we've been, I wouldn't say help, but sometimes it feels, I feel arrogant to say that. I think we are so blessed by just us seeing and observing what you're doing there and our relationship. And it's always a privilege, Brenda, to have you here visiting us, all the kiddies here. Brenda was sharing during a conference, and I know I had so many good feedback and testimonies of your involvement, your life, the visibility of that to others and what you live, that it was preaching to others. So we would love to hear from you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jocko. Thank you, church. It's always a real pleasure to be here. We are Children of Promise Ministries of Namibia, and we are based out in Arundis, a ways out, and we came this weekend as a guest of Shofar for the cool breeze, which somehow we missed. We don't know what quite happened, but we had a lovely day at the beach yesterday with our partners from the church who work alongside of us, come out on a monthly basis to share time with our kids and just to build relationships with us so that our children's lives can be expanded. And certainly those of us on staff, Miss Friedel is here from staff, and Uncle Mike is here. We have two of our mummies, Miss Sophie and Miss Beulah, who are with us today. And all of us, you know, are blessed with our relationship with Shofar. I want to say thank you on behalf of all of us, because it means a lot to us to have a church. You know, when we walked in this morning, I saw the kids knew exactly where to go. They're moving through the church. People are greeting all of us by name. I'm greeting people by name. It feels like a home church. And that is a real blessing. And it's taken time for that relationship to build, but it has. And my participation last weekend was because of that relationship with Shofar. They invited me to something I didn't even know existed, the conference. Even though we were invited last year, I wasn't able to come, and I had no idea what it was, and what a blessing it was to me to be able to participate in that. And again, it's the way God uses us as a family, as partners in the ministry that he's doing to many of his children here in Namibia. We are wanted to just share a couple of things. We run a school out in Arundis from kindergarten through seventh grade. One of your members is also a volunteer for us. On a weekly basis, she comes to teach our life skill classes to our older children. We're blessed by that. Again, how much of a God thing is that, that could happen? We have also then our children, a lot of our children are orphans or vulnerable children who've been placed in Christian families. And that's what our job is as a ministry, is to try to find families so that these children have a place to grow up to know Jesus and to be exposed to a world that Jesus has planned for them, that they're can reach their full potential, which is God's plan for all of us, of course. So that is our ministry. We have, I'm going to just ask Uncle Mike to stand up. He's been a ministry partner with us for 6 years now, and he's leaving to go back to the States on Wednesday. So this is our goodbye to him. This was our goodbye weekend. And he's dedicated his time and talents and love to our children and our families for the past 6 years, and we've been very blessed by him, and he will be greatly missed. I know many of you know him as well. We also just lost Miss Nan recently. Uncle Mike is our go-to guy for everything. So we're going to be challenged here in the future and are open to any kind of volunteer opportunities because he was our go-to guy for all the electronics and anything that has to do with computers. He was our go-to guy for transportation. He was our go-to guy. We need this fixed. We need that fixed. We're going to really have a big hole in our ministry. We just lost another partner of ours. Miss Nan left, who many of you knew her. She ran the school, and she left at the end of December. So we've got a huge gap now, and this Miss Brenda is going to need, and Miss Friedel, and Auntie Beulah, and Auntie Sophie, we need lots of prayers. We're missing some key folks in our ministry, and we need prayers to be able to get us through. God has a plan. We're sure of that, and we're going to continue in what we're doing. We can always, you know, we love the way Shofar, we know we're prayed for often. Miss Carol often, I love when I see her in town or something, and she'll remind me that I've personally been prayed for and that the ministry has been prayed for. We appreciate that. We appreciate the time and effort of each and every member of this church who comes and spends time with us. The teams that come up from other places, and then Pastor connects them with us so they can come out and work alongside of us. We appreciate that. The commitment of Walter, who leads the group here, who comes on a monthly basis to us, we are so grateful to him. Uncle Walter, everybody knows, and when we say we're going to, you know, Uncle Walter's coming, then we know we expect a fun time and lots of new things, and we're so grateful, Walter, for what you do. And all of you that support him in that, well, thank you so much. I see many faces here who've been out to Arundas and have worked with us. Thank you, Pastor. Really, it's just a message of blessing to you guys for the way God uses you to bless us. And I heard Pastor say that we also bless you. It is a partnership made by God. It's the only way it's happened. We're very grateful. We're open to any kind of... The church gives us lots of in-kind donations. Dr. Christine, when she comes out on her weekly visit to Arundas, is bringing us stuff quite often. Gifts from the church. This, we live off this. This is all our entire existence is from donations. We depend on God to provide everything from the shoes we wear to the food we eat to the tuitions we pay to go to school. Thank you, and be blessed. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, Brenda. He's just so faithful. I was, we had a blessed time in the first service, and we had such an anointing of the Lord there, and I was just sitting here, and I said, Lord, I don't want to preach without that same anointing of his presence. And as we were sitting here, I just sensed him in the room. That's too sensitive. You can hear all of that. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. I'm just going to read one scripture from there. By the way, we're all young here this morning. Now old people, okay? Young, it qualifies all of us tonight, today, to as the Lord minister to us. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 says this, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth." Listen to this. "Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for these God will bring you into judgment." Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. I want to share a very simple message this morning. I haven't got slides up here. I don't want to apologize for that because I did it on purpose. I just want you to listen with your heart this morning and take home three things with you. That's all. Leave the knowledge for a moment, or gaining knowledge. You're not here to gain knowledge this morning. You're just here. We just have an appointment with the Lord. Paul writes, in 2 Corinthians 11, then he writes this, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. He says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I often think about that scripture, from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I tend to see that we often make it so much more complicated, or try to make it complicated. Let's get a few steps back. The last couple of weeks, the Lord is just ministering to me, and about 3 weeks ago, the Lord was laying it upon my heart to go and pray for somebody specifically for a while now, and I've been disobedient, and it's not somebody in the congregation, just somebody I know. And you get consumed up by a lot of good things and make bad excuses. Let's put it that way. Anyway, so one day I just realized, after you put another reminder on, I have to do this, and the reminder gets that bad habit sometimes of just postponing. That Monday I decided, today is the day I'm going to go. And I went there, I went to the hospital, I heard the news, the person was in the hospital. So I went there, sat down next to his bed, and I just prayed and had a discussion for about a half an hour. Wasn't doing well, but it was positive and all of that. I remember I was leaving hospital, and as I'm driving out, the Holy Spirit whispers this in my ear. He says, "You didn't do me any favor." I said, "What do you mean you didn't? I didn't do you any favor. I was obedient." And obedience is so important to the Lord. I think it's so important. But the Lord said, "I want you to do that out of love, not just because I asked you to do. It needs to be something that's just flowing naturally out of us." Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell us to do certain things, and we're in this battle between this life and what God wants us to do, and how the kingdom needs to come in this life. And I'm the first one to say that we have to be obedient, but the Lord just ministered to me there, and he said, "I want you to operate from a place of love." And I just a moment with the Lord and repent and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to, whatever I do, it's not out of a place of obedience to you, but out of a place I want to move to such a place." Nevertheless, so that was the Monday. And on the Wednesday, I got news that the person is not doing well. And I thought it was at lunchtime. I'll just go straight after lunch. And I went to the hospital, and I got to the hospital, asked the nurse, "Can I see the person?" And the nurse said this to me. She said, "I'm sorry, sir. He just passed away 10 minutes ago." So I said, "Can I still go through?" And he said, "Yes, you can go through." I walked into the room. He was still lying there, and his wife was there, and it was a God moment. Fortunately, he knew the Lord. I know him, and God just stirred something inside of me, but that's moments, and I often have that when I have funerals, because I'm not the best pastor you have to ask to do. Thank you. That's so kind. We do that with our visitors, so thank you. I'm not the best pastor you ask if you have a funeral. Because every time we reach such a place of life and death, it's a grace moment. It's a pause moment, I want to say. God puts the pause button in my life, and I get a chance to review my own life. And then, when you're standing next to that bed, and whether you have a funeral, suddenly all the word simplicity starts to give or become something fresh or new meaning to that. And you realize that you're sometimes so busy with a lot of things that when we hit the moment like that, when the pause button is pressed, all these other things fall away. You come to a place that life is just really, and I want to talk about three things this morning. Three things, and it boils down to that. And I'm sorry if I haven't got a deeper message. I'm really sorry. But if God doesn't allow me to share, there's deep moments that we can have with Him, the deep stuff, and listen to those teachings. But this morning, I'm bringing something that is so simple, yet so profound,
And yet so often we miss it. You see, when you reach such a place, standing next to that bed, and God allows you to look into the situation for a moment, as a believer this morning, and I'm talking to believers this morning, whether you know Christ, that's the other thing. If you know, you don't know Christ, there is a godly moment sometimes. You know, I'm sitting at that same person's funeral. I'm sitting there having this conversation in my mind. I say, God, how many people sitting here this morning that do not know you and will not take this opportunity? But as a believer, we read Ecclesiastes that he's writing. He said, do what you want to do. Do what your heart, what is in your heart. Do what your eyes see and you value. And it's different for all of us this morning. I can promise you, we all value different things. We put money towards where we value things. Our hobbies differ. This one will pay this amount of money for bicycle. And the other one would think, what a waste. And this one would pay this amount for a weekend. What a waste. Why? Because our values are different. And that's good. That's not necessarily wrong. But do you know, when I was standing there and in this time, you know, I just realized that everything, my energy, my money, myself, all that God has given me has either been sowed into these three areas. First of all, it's sowed into myself. I remember when I wasn't serving the Lord still, when I'm still living out there for myself, all my time, all my, I want to say finances, all my effort, my thoughts, was just because I was directed by what is in my heart and what my eyes saw. Whether you believe or not believing this morning, we have that in common. We aspire, we grow towards what is in our heart and what we see. But the day when I met Christ, Christ came and he imparted these values inside of me. The word puts it other way. He says, I give you a new heart. He gave me a new spirit. And suddenly, that which was value to me before wasn't valuable anymore. Christ came and something took place here. Something that it seemed like a waste, all of it. But it was my spirit that was renewed, and we all know that that we're still in this battle, and we all know we're in the process still. So you still sometimes feel like you're torn apart because the flesh wants this, and the spirit is crying out for this. And I had to reprogram myself, that myself, and that's my first point this morning, you know. When I'm standing there, I had to ask myself, am I at the right place? Am I healthy, spiritually speaking? When I met Christ, I had to spend time in the Word. I had to spend time in prayer, and it wasn't a waste. Never a waste. I had to spend, I remember it so much, so clearly, that I couldn't get enough of that. Lord, just more of your Word, more in your presence, more. And I want to say that, first of all, before I go any further, that is how we breathe. That is not a sacrifice we make this morning to spend time in the Word or to pray, to go to intercession. It's not a sacrifice. That is who we are. But Christ had to come and realign my values. He had to come and realign my programming inside of me because I was going into a direction where I was going after what is in my heart. And Christ had to reprogram me so that I will go after what is in His heart and what He sees. And still at this moment, he's still doing that. But I want to say to you, sitting here this morning, maybe you saved just, or maybe you just met Christ recently. That's so important that we sit in that place continuously as much as we can to cut away with all that waste as Paul described it, even in the worst way he described it. But to sit in that place where I learn to hear or I discover his voice. The other day somebody said, God is always speaking. We're just not always aware of that. It's continuously speaking. It's not that you cannot hear him. We just have to pray, Lord, make me aware. Because I'm still talking. You know, but I found that as I'm spending time with him, the more time I spend with him, this thing can become an obstacle in my own life as well. As a baby, we have a little one-year-old girl, but all of us that's got parents would know. When you have that little baby, everything centers around that little girl or that little boy. And all the boy wants or the girl wants is just attention, just milk. Everything's around me. I want milk. I want food now. Not later, now. And I'm going to cry till I get it. And everything is about me. But she's got sisters as well. It's just not, we haven't just got this one child and we have to look after the one. We've got a family. And I found that if I spend too much time focusing upon my needs and where it's all justified that Christ wants to heal me and Christ wants, where I met Christ and Christ wants to reprogram me, there's something bigger in this whole thing. I found that if I leave that pendulum to swing to the other side, the extreme side, anything to the extreme is dangerous in the kingdom of God. Even grace to the extreme and justice to the extreme is dangerous. So always remember that. I shared it in the first sermon. Guys, even with grace at the moment, I mean, there's books out there that I can recommend you to read. But it's horrific what's going on in the body. Maybe out there, not maybe so close at home, about grace. And people are going to hell because of the extreme side. Nevertheless, I found that if I push it to the extreme, myself, my needs, my obsession to get healed or what, I become selfish. Because now suddenly everything revolves around me. And I find that if it's too much about myself, which is necessary, with Christ is asking the question this morning to each one of us, or at one or another time, Adam, where are you? Once you've answered to that question, God is asking you another question. Cain, where is your brother Abel? I found that if I spend too much time focusing on this, if it swings too much to the other side, to the myself part, I lose the bigger picture. That I belong to a family, actually. That it's not just about me. And I tend to do my own thing. I tend to be obsessed about my things if I spend too much time there. I tend to... There's a lack of ownership. This church doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to him. Belongs to us, to Christ. And we are part of it. But if I spend too little time, it's also got its dangers. Then my relationship develops into a shallow, superficial relationship with Christ. And I need to figure this one out. I need to figure out when and when not to. When is it enough? When is it? I'm not saying too much. It sounds, I'm not saying you're praying too much or you're reading too much of the word. I'm just saying when it centers around me. And it takes me to my second point is that as my little girl has got two sisters, we have spiritual family this morning. And we need to ask ourselves the question as I was standing there, is my relationship healthy with the Lord? Am I self-centered? Am I at a place where I belong to a family? Point two, other believers. Christ has given us, and it's so beautiful to hear about this relationship and as we build a relationship, but in the context of Shofar Swakop Moon, Christ has given you spiritual family, each one of us. And then God is just so ironic, you know, when he gives us people from different backgrounds, grew up differently, looked different, and he puts us all under one roof and say, okay, you're a church now, or you're the body. Because Christ called you, I believe, Christ called you to this place this morning. Maybe we had a cup of coffee. Before I convinced you to be part of this church, please pray for me because I don't do that. I'll tell you, I'll brag about what Christ is doing in the church. I often do that. Not about what we do. I'll boast upon the things like Paul said what Christ is doing. But anyway, I leave room for the Holy Spirit to do that. And then Christ brings us to family, to a place where we can belong, where we can see. No, not to a place where we see necessarily eye to eye. That's the thing. We come to this family with the illusion that, we're going to see eye to eye. And everything is just going to... Wow, man, it's honeymoon. I like this change of scenery. I like the people. They're so loving. I mean, this previous church, you wouldn't believe it, but this people, they are so godly, they are saints. Man, you wouldn't believe it what they do on Sundays. The sermon looks so different. The service looks so different. They all love me, and it's great. Thank you. But can I just give you the prophetic word? That is just honeymoon. This is not about my feelings, whether I like it or yes, that contribute maybe towards that, and maybe we created an environment for you where you felt special, but bottom line, cut that all away. It's about the question you need to answer. Where's the house? Where's my house? God, where are you planting me? Christ, where do you want me to belong? Because some other time, I got to save myself or be released from this obsession about myself and my relationship, which is necessary, to a place where I share, where I learn to share with my brothers and sisters, where I learn to serve them. That's why I have such an obsession about serving, when Christ said, I came to serve. Because you have kids. We all teach them to share and to serve one another. We're not islands here this morning. We're not, maybe you are an individual in the group. You just need to learn to serve. Anyway, and Christ brings us to the beauty of family, and he says to us, now you're part of it. This is where I plant you. And then we have times and moments sometimes when we do not see eye to eye. Doesn't make you wrong. Doesn't make me wrong. Doesn't make you right. Doesn't make me right. It just means sometimes we just got to look at our common vision, values, and say we have that in common. Because we have that in common, my opinion doesn't really count. It doesn't matter because we have that in common. Because we have that in common, I'll stand side by side to you. I'll put my shoulder to you, and I'm not going to stab you. And I was thinking about this week, and we've got them up there, our values. I want to put it, I want to challenge you this morning, people. If you're part of this family this morning, that you measure yourself again against that values. Passion for Jesus. Do I still have that same passion for Christ as the day when I met him? The Lord comes to Abram and he says to him, Abram, he calls him and he takes him out of his land and he sends him somewhere. Then later on, the Lord calls Abram after the whole story about Isaac that he promised him. And then when Abram takes his son Isaac up on the mountain, puts him on the altar, and is about to obey God. Still sometimes, look, I think we read over that scripture, like, just put yourself in that. But anyway, it's just too much for me. I don't know. I think I would fail the Lord there. Anyway, so Abram is so determined, and he wants to kill his boy, his only son. The Lord calls, the angel calls on Abram. He says, Abram, Abram. You see, God, Abram was much more determined to serve Christ. His passion was, it took the angel twice to call upon Abram to stop him than when he first called him. When God called Abram, he had to call him once and he had his attention. But Abram grew in the Lord. His passion grew so much. And I'm going sidetracked now. I don't want to preach about that. But he grew, his passion for the Lord grew so much more fervently that he was even more determined to do God's will than when he was just saved. Have you still got a desire to serve people? God's people, your brothers, your sisters in this body, in this church, in this town this morning. Are you slotted in at a place where you can model that or follow that which Christ modeled to us? Where we learn to sharpen, iron sharpens iron, as the Bible says. Not Lone Ranger against Lone Ranger with a pistol and a gun. Iron sharpens iron. Differences being brought together. Learning to love. Learning to love and walk in and to esteem each other higher. And God uses these moments to sharpen us, to teach us something about family, to teach us that, hey, this is okay. I want the relationship with you, but I also want the relationship with them. Because you're not more important than them. You're just another child. And even though I say to you, the apple of my eye, I would say that to her as well. You're the apple of my eye, and I love it. And I think sometimes for us as humans, we just can't get that one around that. Because if you have a favorite, for us, it's just, that's a favorite. But God says to each one of us this morning, you're my favorite. We can't get our heads around that kind of love. It's just, one day God will give us grace to understand it. Nevertheless, God gives us family. And within this family, we start spending time together. We start building closer relationships. Some of them, you don't have as close relationship. That's godly. Okay, you don't have to have that grows. And that's some things we have in common. And God just brings us together. And this relationship grows. But I found that even this can become a stumbling block. I found that if I spend too much, and I spoke about that last time my sermon, that if I spend too much time with you lovely people sitting in front of me here, and we with one another, then we can become inward focused. Oh, we love this place. Beautiful, nice music. We love one another. We have such beautiful times. We have such nice home cells, and we just enjoy each other's presence. But if I spend too much time with you, if you spend too much time, and we forget about what's happening out there, we'll become inward focused. Church will become an exclusive club with exclusive membership. I tend to find that if I spend too much time here, I become impatient and judgmental to those on the other side. They should look like us. Man, this is what a Christian talks like, or the way he talks and his dress code. Somebody came to me the other day and said, he's asking me, can you talk about the way people dress in church? Think, God, what has that got to do? So I'm so sorry, I haven't got the tie on this morning. And so I'll preach on that. Our dress code in church is, you got to wear clothes. Okay, so we keep it. Don't be a stumbling block to anybody. As long as you are not wear clothes, you're welcome in this family. But I think it sometimes, I really have a problem with that. You got to pray for me. When people come to me, they talk to me about, I shared it about the black chair, and the black box, and that dot on there that must be the demon that's watching us through that dot, and all this nonsense I want to say sometimes, that we're so inward focused. I think we have too much time on our hands sometimes. There's so much work out there. Jesus had to remind his disciples, listen, there are people dying out there. The harvest is ready. Just take your eyes off this issue, because like as much as I can be so inward focused on my issues and getting healed, and we can do the same and make mistakes the same way. While God is calling us to love us or love one another, we can get so obsessed with us and our needs, and we start to create that club with exclusive membership. Now you gotta dress like us. You gotta talk like us. I mean, we have even our own lingo, our own way the language. I mean, I'm terrible of that. I know, I do that same. I make that same mistake. You sometimes pray prayers using words in front of people that do not really know Christ, and they probably would stand and think, what is he talking about? Just be real. And we create this thing where we feel comfortable. I mean, we want church to be a place where we all feel comfortable, but that's actually a lie. Yes, you can feel comfortable. Not so comfortable that we kick out our shoes, put it on top of the couch or where, and just relax. If this church doesn't make you feel uncomfortable at certain times, I want to say, not all the time, okay, then either one of two things is wrong here. Either we do not do our job, or either this is the wrong church for you. If I do not make you feel uncomfortable, sorry that I have to use myself as an example, then either I do not do my job, or I'm not your pastor. And you'll have to go and find family where God wants to plant you so that you will become a little bit uncomfortable in that lazy boy. I think the spiritual furniture in the church has got too many lazy boys with remotes in their hand, where we can press the button and change everything we would like to change, so that we have an environment where I can change the variables, where everybody becomes like me, the way I prefer that, or you. And Christ says, guys, that's great. your family, but this is not what's life. That's not the bigger picture. And it takes me to what I want to share finally. Life is more than just me, you, us. We sang that song in the beginning, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. In the first service, I was sitting there, and then the words came in, Mama. Clarence actually led the people. So let's make it more personal. Let's sing, oh, how He loves me. And then the Lord just dropped that words, those words in my spirit. Oh, how He loves them. Because it's not just about me. It's not just about us. And that's the third one. It's about them. Myself? Is my relationship at a place? Is it healthy? Am I too much or too little? I don't know where you are this morning. My relationship with others, with the body? Am I belonging? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you do not know where you belong. I have a problem with people visiting too many times and never find a home because you need a home to belong. Maybe you need to come to me and we need to pray together that God will show you where your family is. If you reach that place and it's maybe here, then we need to sit down and say, listen, this is my house. I recognize that God is not just visiting and coming here on a Sunday. And we never see eye to eye. We never sit down and say, listen, God said, this is my house. I want you to keep me accountable for that. We think we'll just fade in. And then next time I've been here all the time. No, we have to sit down. Whether it's me or somebody else, where we sit down eye to eye and say, listen, I recognize or I feel that God is placing me in this place. And then we sit down and we agree on that. Say, well, we're going to keep each other accountable to help you out of the honeymoon phase. Because when the honeymoon is over, you can't just fade out. Fade into the new church. I'm here. I like it. I like it here. It's so beautiful. You'll be like a vapor. God wants you to be a tree. That's planted. A son, a daughter in this house, or wherever. But, it's a but. No, it's coming. I was challenged while I was standing at that bed next to that person. And I just had to, I think it just started before, way before that, when the Lord just challenged me again to review my own relationships with the non-believers out there. I'm not saying it demeaning, with people that do not know Christ. You are so privileged, people, that you work amongst them daily. I know a lot of, if you like me, I don't remember once, in my relationship, I was like, oh God, I don't want to be amongst these people. They curse and swear and it's just so ungodly. God, I just want to be in an environment where it's just holy. Oh God, save me from that. That's so ungodly. Maybe you should redeem that place where you work. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeem the time. In other words, make the most of every opportunity. Maybe we should see that as a blessing. And the Holy Spirit will open our eyes for the godly moments that we will have. I found that the best evangelists are not the qualified old women or the older guys or the ones that then learned everything and has gained all the knowledge. Christ has got the way. I love that scripture. He says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty. That qualifies all of us. But even more, the ones that just met Christ. Oh, they blessed me so much. You know, when you look at them, the fire, the enthusiasm, the passion. And they like that woman at the well. They would sit down there. They met Christ. And all she knows is, I've met a man. Now I'm going to run back to the city. Because I've met a man. I've got to tell him. I haven't figured all of this out. This doesn't make sense to me. This whole baptism thing, it doesn't make sense to me. But I know that I have to do it. I don't understand this whole new thing about this church. It's a bit weird to me. But I know I need to be there. I found that when I look at them, they inspire me so much. Because us, we that serve the Lord, do you know what we do? We found the water as well. God bless you this morning, each one of us. That's, and I'm counting myself in. The person that just met Christ, he would will meet Christ. He will discover the living water as Christ was sharing there. And he said, listen, there's more. I can't. This is not. I can't just have this for myself. I got to share this with my friends. And I love it. You have to look at the registrations for the men's camp. The guys that's bringing the most friends, I almost want to say, the ones that just joined. It's just like, this is so nice. I got to bring more. I got to show them. And it's a challenge to myself this morning. I'm preaching to myself. The rest of us, we've advanced. That's not the word. We've grown in our relationship. We've gained the knowledge. You see, the one that just met Christ, the one that just tasted the water, hasn't got any knowledge. He just tasted the water. I know it's sweet. I've got to tell him about the water. The rest of us, we'll sit down. And then we have the us thing. Other believers, we join the church. And now we have discussions about the condition of the water. We have to study this water to make it a little bit cleaner. So maybe this has got too much solids or too much iron in, you know. And we stand in the way of what Christ wants to do in his church. I think sometimes we think we are the Messiah, not on the horse and the donkey. And I found that if I spend too much time with you, and I say in love, that I get this thing wrong, to struggle to discern between holiness and the Great Commission. I found that people come to talk to me about all super spiritual nonsense. I can use a worse word than that. I wouldn't. God help me. While people are dying out there. And we want to discuss the condition of the water. And how am I going to help this water to be a bit clearer so that she will love it and she will drink it? Well, it's God's job to purify the body. I wanna take that position of, can I just talk about this stuff? Can we sort this out? God laid this upon my heart. And God needs to help us from this God says. I'm serious. God needs to help us. It's running through the body. God said this and God said this. And I have to listen to what God says all the time when people come to me about God says. I'll tell you what. We'll have 10 visions. And so you will find as well when people. But I have not heard none. Nobody coming back to me. You know that other day when God said this, I realized actually I was wrong. I realized I missed God. I just want to apologize. I think I missed the Lord. That's fine. It's great. It's so quick. We're so quick to God said. But when I miss him, God said. There's a word for somebody here this morning. You're serving the Lord for a while, and the Lord says, what are you busy with? You just need to answer that question to him. I think it's time that we realize and discover the beauty that's outside the church. There's a lot of potential here. There's a lot of beauty here. There's even more beautiful, precious stones out there. Let's stand. Clarence, can I have you guys here? I want to close. I want to ask you. Chances are good that you are working amongst people that do not know Christ. You are in relationship with people that do not know Christ. And my ask question to you this morning is, are you still intentional in that relationship? Are you still intentional? And when last did you have a godly moment in that relationship? I found that I can spend time with people all the time, non-believers. Never be intentional. Never trust the Holy Spirit to move. And he wouldn't move. But the moment I have expectation, the moment I ask him, so Lord, I want that opportunity. I want this relationship to go to the next level. I don't know where you want to take it, Lord, but I'm available here, Lord. And Lord, I'm so afraid, Lord, to say something, but God, give me the grace. I found that the Holy Spirit is so faithful. He creates that gap. He creates that opportunity, maybe just to sow that one seed. But I got to be intentional. I found that Christians that serve the Lord the longest, all due respect, are the most boring people. I don't want to be around them. Help us, God. I'm talking to myself. That we'll have fresh testimonies, fresh encounters with people out there. Somebody told me the other day about a story. I don't want to share that now. But it's just so beautiful how God just connects us with the world out there, with people out there, and He gives us that moment, Lord, that godly moment. And when you come here and you share a testimony, it's not because of what the Lord did 7 years ago in my life when I met that person 7 years ago. What did God do this week? God, I'm not satisfied. I want a fresh destiny, a fresh encounter. Can we sing that song? I'm going to do the same as the first service. How He loves me. How He loves us. How He loves them. My God, do something here. There's a rewiring, a reprogramming taking place. I do not need to preach on reaching the lost. It needs to be part of our makeup. That just needs to come naturally. Anyway. And may God help us here this morning. When I was preparing, I thought, Lord, we'll just pray one-on-one together. But then I sense, you know, sometimes we pray too much and do too little. Sometimes you just got to hear what the Lord says, or the angel said to, I think it's Peter in the prison. He opened the doors and he told them, listen, put on your shoes, put on your belt, and go out. The door is open. Now we want to pray about that still. With all due respect, I think it's time just to go. The path is open. Opportunities are there. Somebody came to me that do not know what we're doing at the moment, what God has said to me in the last 6 months, and he shared exactly what the Lord shared end of last year. There is a harvest waiting. God is about to expand, to bring in growth like never before. That's why Awaken, that's why our men's camp, and even more beyond that, what we can imagine this morning, God wants to do. The harvest is ready. I need to put on my shoes, Lord.
So for us is so good, Lord. Your love for us is so wide, wider than the... Your love for us is so deep, deeper than the oceans, Lord. Your love for us stretches through the earth. Love for us, Lord. Love for us higher than the mountains.
Let's just close our eyes just where we stand. And the Lord just leads me to a certain people I want to pray for this morning. Maybe you are not in a relationship. Your relationship with Christ is not healthy. You're not sure whether you are in a relationship. You're not sure whether you know Him. You're not sure if today, if you would die, whether you would be with Him. If you're here this morning and you're uncertain about that, chances are good that you are not at the right place. Then I want to pray with you. While nobody's looking around, I want you just to raise your hand just to give me indication. I need that prayer. I need Him. I need Him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you raised your hand, there's another group of people I want to pray about. I want to stand in my right hand, on my left hand, sorry, my left hand. If you've raised your hand just now, just to stand on my left hand, just to leave your chair just there, to come as we pray with you this morning. Let's just stay in prayer at the moment. Let's just stay, close our eyes. There's somebody, some of you standing here this morning, you do not belong to a family. I'm not going to pray that you belong to us. I'm going to pray that God will show you where you need to belong. If you're not sure, you've been visiting, you've been fading, and God wants to show you where you need to belong, part of the bigger picture. If that's you, just to raise your hand where you are and just say, I need that prayer. I need to know where I belong. Quickly, if you're going to come to the front, I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to trust the Lord just to bring you to a place of belonging, to a place where... Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be bold this morning. God is going to come in this week, especially to those of you visiting, I want to say. And He's going to minister to you. He's going to show you where you belong. Whether it's here or somewhere else. Right, He's going to plant you. Can I have some of the leaders here just to help me pray here? Thank you, Jesus.
By the streams of living water. By the streams of living waters, Lord. Streams of loving water. Oh, Your love for me is so great, Lord.
Yep.
Your love for us is so beautiful. Your love for us is so unconditional. It's Your love for us, Lord. Your love for us is enough. Your love for us is enough. Your love for us is enough. It's enough for me, it's enough for me, it's enough for us. I don't have to do anything, Lord, for You to love me more. Yes, I don't have to do anything, Lord, for You to love me. Oh, oh, oh. Love the way that You love us. Yes, I love the way that You love us. Love the way that You love us. Oh, oh, oh. Your love for us is unconditional. It's your love for us, it's unconditional. It's your love for us, it's unconditional. You died for us, you are our portion.
I'm just gonna dismiss the service there. You're welcome to go home. The Lord bless you. If you want to stay, you're welcome. If you still need a prayer, you're welcome. If asked, just if you can leave silently while we just minister to the people here still.